In Their Own Words, a collection of Mormon quotations compiled by Mormonism Research Ministries' Bill McKeever, is a valuable resource when wanting to know what Mormon leaders have said on a given topic. Pick up your copy at the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore or mrm.org. Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Our thanks to Adams Road Band for that musical introduction. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is a good friend, Mike Menning. Mike Menning is with Great Commission Utah, and he has been ministering among those who are involved in polygamy. And again, Mike, I want to welcome you to the show. And yesterday, we were talking about what drew you here to Utah from the state of Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And you gave us a few details there, and we were talking about your transition and dealing with some of the polygamous groups here. So let's go back and let's talk about that some more. Why would you have a heart towards these people? Because for the most part, they're kind of ignored, I would think, among many. I know a lot of people are focused on the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We are, as a ministry. It's not that we don't know about these groups, but we really don't make a concerted effort to get in among them to minister to them. People like you do that, and there are others that are certainly called to doing that. And so let's talk about that. Why the polygamous groups?
Well, God called me to Utah to pastor a church, and not just pastor a church, but to build that church and to lead people to Christ. And that little church, when I came on a good Sunday, we might have had 30, 35 people. What happened is God blessed the ministry, and after 5 years, we had an average on Sunday morning, 110 to 120 people at the church, and things were going well. About 40% of these people were new converts from Mormonism. And then a lot were new converts from perhaps other areas. But as clearly, Bill, as what God called me into pastoring this church, God called me out of pastoring that church. Things were going well in the church. God had blessed it. God had brought the people in. And I was having a great time. And God put on my heart, your time here is finished. And I debated with God over that, and then it came stronger and stronger. Is this really true? You know, is God really calling me some other place? And we had a little office in the back part of the property of that church, and I clearly remember, as though it happened yesterday, I walked from that office, I walked to the church, and halfway, just a little distance, I cried out to God, and I said, God, do you know what you're doing? You know, I said, I am 60, I think I was 66, something like that, at the time 65. I said, I have diabetes. My diabetes alone costs $900 a month to take care of. I've got a great insurance plan. I'm on a retirement plan, which is not yet finished, and now you're calling me away. I don't hear God speaking to me audibly in my ears, but it came very clear. Mike, I chose Abraham to go someplace not knowing where he was going. Trust me. And I was, man, I had no idea how I was going to make a living because I had a salary. I had the golden handcuffs on. And so God called me out. I had to raise my own support and all that. Long story short is this. I dealt with it, and over the next months, I felt God leading me into more. These polygamous people were on my mind. And nobody knows how many there are in Utah. You know, John Krakauer says, the author of Under the Banner of Heaven, he says he thinks it's up to 120,000. But nobody knows. It's maybe more, somewhere between 80 and 100,000, some are saying. So we did a little survey among the churches, Christian evangelical churches in Utah, and we asked a number of questions. We asked them this question: are you ministering to anyone that's living in polygamy or from a polygamy background? And we found two churches in the entire state that were ministering to people that came out of polygamy. That's when God put on my heart, you need to go and establish that ministry. And as near as I could tell, there was one person that was really ministering at the time, bringing polygamists to Christ, Doris Hansen. She's up north, and she was working among some of the Kingston group and a few others. But other than that, here we have this whole unreached people group in this state. And so I say, well, God, how do I do this? And I just started driving 320 miles south into Colorado City. Warren Jeffs was the prophet. When I came into town, what we call the God Squad, that's the church's security people, they harassed the daylights out of us. And we found out that no one has ever gone into that town except, I understand, there was a guy from St. George in late 1980s. He came in on his Harley Davidson, and he held a Bible study with a few people, and he got scared out, and he never came back after a couple of times. So anyway, that's what happened. God put it on my heart, and when I get the marching orders, I need to go.
Well, you mentioned Doris Hansen in the Kingston group. Now, Doris came out of the Kingston group.
Yes.
And let's talk a little bit about the various groups that are here in Utah.
Okay.
Because as you mentioned, when you came out here, you didn't even know this still existed. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that don't know that this still exists. This is really, folks, Joseph Smith's legacy. There's no one else to blame this on but Joseph Smith, at least in the context of Utah. They all can trace it back to Joseph Smith. He never repented of his plural marriage. Brigham Young never repented of his plural marriage. Neither did John Taylor, the third president. It was Wilford Woodruff, the fourth president of the church, that signed the manifesto, but that was more for political reasons.
Yes.
The federal government was coming down on them. Of course, polygamy was one of the two twin relics of barbarism, polygamy and slavery. The federal government was now going to give this attention with the Edmunds Tucker Act in the 1880s. They had kind of let it ride since the Morrill Act of 1862 that Lincoln had signed. But a lot of people think, well, that's all the past. That doesn't go on anymore. And then you're realizing when you get here, that certainly is something that's going on. And if the LDS people are a neglected mission field, you can only imagine how neglected the polygamists would be, because as you say, we don't even know how many of them exist, and they are trying very hard to be under the wire because they know that what they're doing is something that is not legal, and they don't want to have any run-ins with the law, and so they are very secretive about that. But you talked about the Kingston group. The official title of the Kingston group is called the Davis County Cooperative Society. How large would you think this group might be? Because you put out an email a while back where you were throwing out some estimates and some things that you have learned being, I guess you could say, more on the inside of talking to some of these people. We don't really even know what official numbers are, but you had put in your email, it's estimated that their membership in all locations of Utah, Idaho, and Colorado number over 15,000. Does that still sound about right?
Well, that's I'm glad you said you put estimates on what you think, and that's what we think. And I say we talk about how many are there. There's an attorney here in town that I deal with a lot on child rescue cases and that sort of thing. And that's what he says. And then Wikipedia is they're right in that area as well. And so, but nobody really knows, but we know that it's very large.
They've been in the news recently, and you had written on this, you'd said something about two of their leaders and wives are now awaiting trial for bilking the United States government out of more than $550
million. Million.
You would think that would get more press coverage. Why is it that it doesn't?
Yeah. Well, you have to understand, I think, that most of the press is heavily influenced by the LDS, by the Mormon people. They get a little press here and there, but this particular case, I watch it. A number of other people watch the media as it comes out. The leaders, a couple of the leaders of the Kingstons, admitted now under oath that it was their goal to bilk the U.S. government out of over $1 billion, and they had crossed the halfway mark. And it was a gal within the group itself that decided to get out. She's the one that blew the whistle to the FBI, and they finally closed in. I personally think they've only seen a tip of the iceberg. The courts in Utah, take, for example, a lot of people don't know, but the dictatorial leader, Warren Jeffs himself, you know, he had, I'm told by his son told me that he had over 80 wives, and a number of them were 11 years old, 12 years old, 13 years old. And anyway, the FBI finally caught him, and he went on trial. But he went on trial in Utah, and a lot of people have forgotten about that. And he was convicted in Utah, but shortly after, Utah let him go because of some technicality of informing the jury was, they claimed, was not what it should have been. So they left him go, and that's when the Texas Rangers picked him up, and then they put him on trial there. Now, I can take you back 2-3 years. The food stamp fraud just in Colorado City. I drove in there one morning. And my goodness, it was like I was coming into a war zone. I found out later from a contact that I have with the FBI that the FBI had over 250 SWAT team members. These are the guys wearing the black jackets, FBI SWAT team. And they had surrounded three buildings of the FLDS in Colorado City. And there were people there with machine guns. And I mean, the federal government spent a huge amount of money getting to this point. They finally arrested 11 people within the FLDS who had taken the United States government for over $11 million just in that town alone. And you know what happened? They went to court. They were found guilty. And a judge here in Utah, a very strong Mormon guy, released the whole works. He sent him home. He said they just released him, except for one guy, and that's Lyle Jeffs, who's still in prison, brother of Warren Jeffs. So what I'm saying is this, Bill. You talk about polygamy being under the wire, and it is. It's all under the wire. But you got to remember that this state is run by the LDS Church. They have people all over. They control the government. They control almost everything. And it's very interesting that every polygamous group, even though the mainline Mormons, you know, say they no longer support polygamy, but every one of the polygamous groups and the mainline church have one thing in common, and that is they worship Joseph Smith. And so the judges release people that are guilty as can be. And so that's the society that we live in.
We've been talking with Mike Menning with Great Commission Utah, talking about his involvement in ministering among those that are in the polygamous communities. Tomorrow, I want to continue talking about the Kingston Group, as well as the FLDS, the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, as well as the Apostolic United Brethren. So you want to catch tomorrow's show, and we discuss those topics again.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.